Hey guys, it's Ryan here from London, UK, via New Zealand. And this episode of IVMV is brought to you by Patreon supporters like me. So roll the intro music, Corey, and more importantly, go Cubbies.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 408th episode of the IVMV podcast. On this episode, we're going to talk about the Cubs series win over the Pirates. Just so you know, we're recording this while the third game of the series is being played. We're also going to talk about the Cubs calling up another prospect. This time it's catcher Wilson Contreras. And of course, we'll have Kurt's scary stat of the week and internet muscle flexes. I'm one of your co-hosts, and I'm joined tonight. My name's Corey, by the way, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, Corey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Well, you know, I'm not used to introducing us and bringing a show together. You know, I've only done it 408 times. And
it just felt like you were introducing yourself to Kurt and me that time for some reason. But anyway, nice to meet you. Yeah, let's do a podcast.
Yeah, we should get together sometime. So we are broadcasting this live. If you're interested in watching these recordings live and being in the chat with other listeners, then you can connect with us on our social media outlets, and we will share when we're going live. It's usually 8:30 p.m. Central Time on Sundays, and then 8:30 on Wednesdays, sometimes on Thursdays. Connect with us on Facebook. IVMV.com/Facebook will get you there. We are at IVMV on Twitter, and although I probably won't link the live broadcast on Instagram, we're there too. At IVMV podcast. Happy Father's Day, guys. Happy Father's Day. Thanks. You guys have good days? A good day, sorry.
Yesterday was better, I'll be honest. But overall, let's just call it a good weekend.
Father's Day weekend. Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I had a good Father's Day week. Today was just a mess, but you know, I got really little ones, so it's expected.
Yeah, every day is pretty much a mess with little ones.
Yeah, I got an 18-month-old who just broke his arm a few weeks ago and has teeth coming in. So
every day is
a complete...
Happy Father's Day. Yeah.
I don't know how many times I said, I'm supposed to be off today. That didn't work so well. No. But overall, yeah, I am happy to be a dad.
Yes, yeah. Did you guys get any manly gifts from your kids today?
Well, I got the Hey Hey pendant from my wife.
Oh, nice.
A little early, and so that's pretty cool. But Matt got me a little flashlight that attaches to the brim of your baseball cap.
Oh, man, I love those things. I have like five of those things. I love them.
So watch out, camping. Here I come.
You know,
the LED monster.
Yeah, I always thought it was silly that Ian wore those when we went camping, but then I got one for myself. I mean, part of the reason I thought it was silly with Ian is because he leaves it on while he talks to you at the campfire. So he's just got like a bright light in your face the entire time.
The police officer interrogating you.
Yes. See, I always kind of made fun of him for it too. And then I got one. I mean, you know, I would say things like, what are you, a spelunker, you know, or I don't know. And now I have one and I'm looking forward to cutting through the darkness with it.
Does it have a red light on it?
I haven't taken it out of the blister packing or whatever, but
yeah,
I think it's just white LEDs.
I actually got a great gift from my son via my wife, I assume, but she got us each 30 minutes of batting cage time at the local batting cage.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
So we're going to go hit some balls. My son is just fanatic about baseball, so we're going to go hit some balls at the cage.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm going to show you guys what my kids got me and my wife.
Rocks.
Oh. Corey's also going to be a male nurse.
Look at this.
For all those people who've noticed he quit his regular job, he's now a male nurse.
So for audio listeners only, Corey's holding up the ugliest pair of shoes ever made.
Let's not call them shoes.
The Croc.
Oh, I'm so excited about these.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible, dude. Straps.
No, so here it is. You guys can make fun of me.
I will.
You can.
I promise you.
But I wore them today. I mean, these are not for like, oh, I'm going to go run to the grocery store. Got to put my Crocs on. That is not what these are for.
It's only a matter of time. This is the beginning. And then eventually you're like, well, I don't really feel like changing.
They're so comfortable. But here's what they're for. They're for like going down. Okay. Because, you know, I take the kids swimming out on the dock and stuff. And like you have to kind of like walk up a little embankment, at the lake, and it can be a challenge. Like, you know, if you go down there to swim and stuff and you're wearing flip flops, it is a challenge to get up that little hill, and like people fall all the time, and you know, there's poison ivy down there and stuff. So you don't want to fall into that. But so
Chris has a question. Did you wear socks with them?
No, I didn't. I threatened to, I threatened Tawny that I was going to go put socks on. But anyway, so today took the kids swimming, wore these and walked right up that bank. No problem. Piece of cake. So then if I go swimming, or, you know, sometimes I wear regular tennis shoes down there, but then if you're swimming and stuff and then you put those things on and then they're all wet and gross and you're kind of muddy and stinky and Crocs. This is, oh, life changing.
Got a couple comments in the chat. Michael says, Crocs official shoe of old guys listening to radio broadcasts in their garage. And Carrie says, marginal analysis of shoes. Last week was hats.
I did not buy these things. Like the girls were so excited for me to get these. They thought it was hilarious. But I'll tell you what, after having them for a day, Tawny said that she's going to buy a pair. And she's more fashionable than you two put together. So,
oh, you think so? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to diss your wife. I'm sure she is.
Watch, by the end of the summer,
if she starts wearing Crocs, then she loses that cred.
Andy, by the end of the summer, Beth is going to be wearing Crocs out at our house. I guarantee it.
You know, I've worn flip-flops and haven't had too much trouble navigating the embankment.
Really?
The dreaded embankment, as you say.
So you're telling me that's not a challenge to get up that thing in wet flip-flops?
Not too bad.
Come on.
Not where I need to change to something that's going to make other people's eyes bleed.
No, the Speedo already did that.
Oh, man, that's true. Walking for people coming to the weekend at the lake.
I'm going to greet every
Speedo and cry.
Everybody at the driveway when they come, I have to like, you have to give them a little warning. Now, don't look at Corey directly. He's kind of like the sun. You have to kind of look at him out of your peripherals.
He provides a small amount of warmth, but you don't want to look right at it.
All right. So I thought you guys would get a kick out of it. And
you haven't heard the end of this, but let's move on.
So if you buy Cubs tickets online, you know how frustrating the process can be. And if that's your experience, a frustrating experience, and you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy sports or concert tickets. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. I'm looking for tickets to the Cubs Red Series in Cincinnati here in a week or 10 days. And SeatGeek sends me alerts to let me know when the ticket prices have dropped. And it's super easy, and it's the first place I go now to look for tickets. They pool tickets from all the other sites, so you don't need to jump around and look for the best deals, because you're going to find the best deal at SeatGeek. The most important part, and what sets SeatGeek apart from the others, is that they are upfront and honest about their prices. The price you see while you're shopping is what you're going to pay. They don't try to sneak in huge fees at the end like StubHub and some other services. So here's how you can get a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app, tap on Settings, then tap on Add a Promo Code, and enter the promo code IVY, and that's all caps, IVY. And after your first purchase, SeatGeek will send you $20. And it's worth mentioning, it doesn't matter how big of a purchase that is. I got my rebate when I purchased two tickets to see the Cardinals play the Brewers. I was in St. Louis for business and decided to go to a game. I got two tickets, paid $7 a piece, so $14 total, and SeatGeek sent me $20. So SeatGeek paid me $6 to watch the Cardinals lose. And I couldn't think of a better way for SeatGeek to spend $6 than on a Cardinals loss. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So let's talk about this series with the Pirates. Unless you guys want to talk about footwear some more. We could stick on that topic, but let's move on. So let's get into the Pirates series before we talk about Wilson Contreras. There's a couple of things that stood out to me in this series. And the first is just how great it is to be in the situation where at every head-to-head opportunity against teams in the division, the Cubs extend their lead in the division, which is kind of what's happening right now. And before tonight's game, which the Cubs are winning, but before the game, the Cubs were 20-6 against the Central Division, 20-6. So obviously no other teams in baseball are dominating their division like the Cubs are. The Cubs are 7-1 against the Pirates. I would say likely 8-1 after tonight, which is just crazy. I mean, this is a team that this is a good baseball team. They're not playing spectacular right now, but this is a good team. And, you know, so far in the season, the Cubs are 7-1 against them. I heard on the ESPN broadcast tonight, you guys probably heard this too, that at the time, the Cubs had outscored the Pirates this season 50-16. And so now I believe that would be 52-17. So yeah, just dominating the Pirates. And the Cubs,
it's worth noting too, like last season the Cubs were 8-11 against the Cardinals, 11-8 against the Pirates. So this is, you know, a stark contrast from even just last year.
Yeah, it's just great to see them really beating up on the division. So they're 4-2 against the Cardinals so far this year. Obviously, a series coming up. But it's because of this that the Cubs have been able to extend their lead in the division. The Cubs have, after today, either, I think an 11.5 or a 12.5 game lead over the Cardinals. So right now it sits at 12 games, I believe. And then right now they have a 14-game lead over the Pirates. 14 games over. I mean, it's just crazy. And the idea of a 12-game lead over the second-place team in the division is just crazy in the middle of June. I mean, sometimes I forget to look at the standings, and then when I do, I'm like completely shocked when I do. But I don't know. Did you guys know this? The Cardinals are going to catch the Cubs. Did you know this?
No,
they're going to do it before the All-Star break, according to Matt Carpenter.
That can't even be mathematically possible.
Well, according to Matt Carpenter, he said that the Cardinals are going to catch the Cubs, and he thinks they can get it down to 4 games by the All-Star break, which is what, 3 weeks away, I think. And I think the great thing about this prediction is that if the Cubs win 2 of 3 in this upcoming series with the Cardinals, I mean, they could be up by 14 games. So I think that's one of the things that kind of, I mean, it's not like directly related to things that are happening on the field in this series, but I mean, just the Cubs really, I mean, they have just owned the Pirates this season. And I think it's been very entertaining to watch because the Pirates aren't exactly handling it in the most, productive ways. I don't think they know how to handle this.
They look defeated.
They do.
And deflated. Not entirely because of the Cubs, because they've lost a ton of games lately. I mean, they went from, what, like 9 over to under 500 in the matter of a couple weeks. So, yeah, they're just not playing well right now. So
and it's strange
to keep beating up on them.
It's strange, too, because, I mean, the past few years we've seen the NL Central as being one of the strongest divisions. And this year's play-in game could feature no NL Central teams, perhaps, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What? Anything else? I mean, I have a couple other things, but what do you guys take away from this series?
Well, I've just been enjoying David Ross all year long, as have a lot of Cubs fans. The guy's been delightful on and off the field. He's been a leader. He's been set an example for the young players. Saturday's game, though, he had a great game. He hit that go-ahead homer to put the Cubs up 4-3 in the sixth inning. And then he had the squeeze bunt in the game as well. Now, I don't know, was it a suicide squeeze or was it a safety squeeze? I tried looking to see if, was it Baez, I think, was on third, if he started running before Ross made contact.
I think it was a safety squeeze.
So, yeah, a safety would mean that he waited for the ball to make contact with Ross's bat before he broke for home. But I thought he started running before the ball
yeah,
struck
he
the
was
bat.
Pretty, he was pretty far down the line.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was pretty awesome. He executed that well. He also threw out McCutchen trying to steal third as well. So he's been a spark plug and just really brings a lot of life and energy to the team in such a good way.
Another thing that stands out to me in this series is Javier Baez, and that guy is out of his mind. First off, how about his now patented Javier Baez swimming slide, or whatever you want to call that, to avoid the attack?
Slide.
Yeah. It is such a beautiful thing, and it's one of those things that, like, now that we've watched him do it a couple of times, like, that is something he clearly has worked on. I mean, he has, and it's amazing that he is able to keep that one toe on. And if he slid like an inch further, he would be off. It's fascinating to watch.
Just has some beautiful athleticism and motor skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful motor skills. You can practice that all you want. And in the moment, like, yeah, it is amazing that he has that ability to react like that. It's wild.
Well,
he's probably really good at dodgeball.
He'd be like, he's the number one dodgeball prospect in America right now.
He had to dodge wrenches all the time, and that's why he's so good at these type of slides.
Well, it seems that, like, I think middle infielders are just going to have to learn that when Javier Baez is coming in, you need to base, like, you can't have your glove like 5 inches off the ground. Because he's like sliding around and under these tags, which is just, it's so bizarre, but it's incredible to see him thrown out by 3 or 4 feet and then he still manages to get in there. And I mean, just imagine how frustrating that would be. I mean, I think the Cubs are already in the Pirates' head, collective heads, I guess. And I think something like that would just have to be so frustrating. I mean, they have not been good, like you said, Kurt, for the last week or two, and they're losing a lot of games. And here you have, I mean, this is the team, they're playing the team that they lost to in the play-in game. They obviously have a beef with the Cubs. I mean, they bean Cubs batters at every opportunity. They, you know, Sean Rodriguez can't keep his cool. They're just, it seems like they've just lost their composure. And how frustrating would a slide like that be, where, you know, the catcher's got to be frustrated. I think it was, I don't remember who tried to apply the tag, but they would have to be frustrated. When things like that happen, if you're the other team, you just have to think, like, you know, the odds are against us. The baseball gods are against us. This just isn't going to happen. But
and this is one of those things that's facilitated by the replay, too, because a few years ago, a lot of these would have just been out by proximity. The ball beats him,
right?
So he's called out. Well, now when it looks close, they look at it and like, oh my gosh, he actually avoided that tag. So yeah, this is sort of a new era of being able to do this sort of thing.
Well, and I think last year, you know, the Anthony Rizzo it's magic slide in third base. Yes. You know, just kind of like, I mean, that was like, so that was amazing to watch. But I think these slides are, like, personally, I think they're like 100 times more impressive. I mean, it's really amazing to watch.
Yeah, it is magic.
Yeah. It's a different level of magic. And Baez, you know, what's funny is he hadn't really been hitting that great here for the last week. Obviously tonight, I think he has a home run and then another single. But even when he's not hitting that great, it's plays like that slide, and some of those defensive gems, like we saw on Saturday. I mean, just amazing plays at third base. He is so exciting to watch and still has such a big impact on games, even when he's struggling at the plate, which I think, you know, it's not surprising that Javier Baez is going to go through some struggles at the plate, but when he still is able to impact a game on the base paths and in the field, it's just such a valuable thing. And I mean, those defensive plays on Saturday were just as amazing as that slide. I thought, I mean, he was playing that one play where he was playing third, dove to his left, spun on his knees, and then threw to first from his knees, like kind of in between the third and shortstop positions, and just a bullet of a throw. And it was a beautiful thing. And, you know, Bryant doesn't make that play.
Coom Dog was like,
I heard that.
I can't remember. He said something like, I don't think I've ever done, I forget, what did he say?
Well, he started with like, I played third base from the time I was 9 years old or something like that. He started with how long you played. And he's like, I never did that. Like where he's like, I never went away from the, and then spun around and made that throw. And or, I forget how he worded it, but.
It's like an I could never or something.
Yeah. Just the arm strength to get it over there and such an accurate throw. Bryant doesn't make that play. And if it's a Bryant at third and Russell backing him up, like Russell was backing up Baez, I don't think Russell makes that play from that deep. So I don't know. I liked Baez at second base because he fit there at the time, you know, lineup wise. I liked him at shortstop, but I think that my favorite spot for him is third base. And originally I wanted to see Bryant stay at third, but my gosh, Baez is just so beautiful over there.
He just said beautiful again.
He's a mighty fine man.
So suited to third. And just, yeah, he's, I think he could play anywhere and look spectacular, but seeing him at third, just wow. Like you said.
Yeah. I swear we could have a Javier Baez segment every week and I would have something to say.
Maybe we should.
Don't tempt me.
People are so down on him too. I mean, and I think this is kind of a nice reminder of short term, early, when a guy's been up and down a bit and maybe he's not performing well, give it a little time. Doesn't mean that they have lost everything that a scout saw before. So yeah, the fact that he's this good now is just a reminder that guys improve with time.
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting in a bar last night and watching the game, and Rondon got his first major league plate appearance, and the guy next to me was like, "Man, that's probably his first plate appearance, isn't it?" And I was like, "No, I feel like he's gotten at least one before." And then, sure enough, like right after that, the graphic popped up: first major league plate appearance, and so. That was just kind of fun to see him actually get in at bat. He ended up striking out by, you know, fouling off a bunt attempt on the third strike. But it was just kind of fun to see his demeanor up there. You could tell he looked a little nervous and out of his element.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio at that point, so I didn't get to see his at bat. I'd like to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I just thought that was a fun little moment. It was just, the relievers getting at bats is always kind of funny.
Yeah. All right. So the Cubs front office, they gave us more cookies, another cookie. And like Addison Russell, it was a cookie that came, I think, when we weren't really expecting it. So the Cubs called up their number two prospect catcher, Wilson Contreras. So Kurt, tell us about Contreras.
There's a lot to tell here actually. But I'll try to be somewhat brief, but still give you the whole picture. I think some of the interesting bits about him is that he's not always been a catcher. He converted in 2012 from third base. He played a couple other infield positions, but was mostly a third baseman. And the cool story about it is that I guess it was all by accident and that he saw some catching gear and he put it on. He went over to the bullpen and he caught some bullpen guys. And he was good enough in that he got some attention from a scout. And they're like, "Hey, do you want to try catching?" Because at that point, he was still young. I mean, 2012, he was only like 20. And so they asked him if he wanted to convert, and he did. And since then, he's been catching. So he's only been catching for 4 years. So that's an important note in any defensive evaluation. A lot of people might pick on his defense a little bit, but I think, like I said, it's important to remember he's only been doing it for 4 years. But I think his defensive ceiling is pretty high because of his athleticism. Let's see. So he's only 24, but he's been in the Cubs system since 2009. So he came over on a international signing. So he's been there since he was 17. And it took him 7 years to get to AA. And that's where we kind of saw him explode last year when he won the batting title in the Southern League. Really a very recent on-the-radar prospect. He went from unranked a couple of years ago to number two, like you said, Corey. So, and most of that comes from the offense. But like we've discussed before, like with Schwarber, any guy who can hit like this, but also catch, you know, hold his own behind the plate is huge, huge value. So he really jumped up the prospect ranks. Some of the sort of the gripes on him is that, well, of course, he's young and he's still got to learn how to call a game with a major league staff. He's still a little bit green in a lot of the defensive stuff. And he's also, according to Iowa hitting coach Brian Harper, he's a fierce competitor. He really wants to compete and win. Sometimes that gets in the way a little bit because he gets so fiery. He needs to calm down a little bit, and that will come as he matures. So a lot of people have commented a little bit on how sort of feisty he is and how reactive he is. So hopefully that will be an asset and not a hindrance as he matures. So, but like I said, he's ready offensively. He pretty much destroyed AAA pitching this year. I think he was hitting 350 coming off of the batting title in AA last year. So offensively, he looks amazing. And then I think the call-up is really give him some time to learn from the veteran catchers who are with the Cubs now. You know, don't expect him to start every day.
I think that's what you would call a meteoric rise, right? Unranked to second-rated prospect in the system in 1 year.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying, like, the best catching prospect overall.
Yeah. I mean, what's his time with the Cubs going to look like, you know, going forward? And people have been kind of chomping at the bit on Twitter, wondering when he's going to get his first start. And a lot of people thought that start might come today. But no, he's going to get the start on Monday, and we'll catch Lackey as the Cubs face the Cards at Wrigley. And figuring out who he would catch, you know, in his first start was a bit of an issue. And it sounds like Maddon decided against having Contreras go tonight with Hendricks because Kyle is a pitcher who really relies on good framing. And that's one of the aspects of Contreras' game that needs a lot of work. So it'll be interesting to see how he works with Lackey, who is, I guess, to say the least, one of the most emotionally expressive pitchers.
I'm sure Lackey will really just kind of take him by the hand, help him along. You know, if Contreras makes a mistake, I'm sure Lackey will be right there. Don't worry about it, buddy. We'll get him next time.
Yeah, right. That's why you really hope that Lackey comes strong out of the gate tomorrow so that kind of makes it easy on Contreras and he doesn't have to face the wrath of Lackey. From what I can gather, and there's not a lot of information out there about this, but Contreras won't be getting a lot of starts to begin with, but perhaps that load could be increased, you know, if he does well. Ostensibly, one of the main reasons he's up right now anyway is to work alongside two of the best pitch framers in the game in Ross and Montero. And so he's going to be hopefully just kind of watching those guys handle their business professionally and see how they do it and just have some time up here with the club alongside those two guys.
Yeah. Mickey has not looked great this season. He looked worn out at the end of last season and he looked like he had run out of gas, and I don't think he's looked sharp at really any point this season yet. He's hitting, before today's game, he's hitting 200, slugging 327, still drawing a lot of walks, but a 200 batting average is going to kill your on-base percentage, even if you do draw a lot of walks. His hard contact rate has dropped quite a bit. He's been on the DL once this season with a sore back, and you have to wonder if it's maybe not still bothering him. Defensively,
and the running game's been going wild on him. Is that what you're about to talk about?
But yeah, I was just going to say, defensively, he hasn't looked that good. He's not throwing out base dealers. He's only thrown out two, and opponents have stolen 28 bases off of him. And that's not all on him. Obviously, I don't think that the Cubs' pitching is exactly the quickest to the plate. And Montero doesn't seem to have that ability to quick throw to first behind base runners like Ross does to kind of keep runners in check and pick off a few base runners. Montero also has as many pass balls this season as he had throughout the entire season last year.
Wow.
And, you know, I just think the fact is he'll be 33 next month. And what is this? I think his 11th season. And honestly, I almost feel like Ross might be in better physical condition right now than Montero. I just don't think he looks good.
Well, and it makes sense that Ross would be in a little bit better physical condition. I mean, I don't have their innings. I'm sorry, their games played numbers in front of me, but I mean, Miggy's been the starter for most of his career, and Ross has almost always been a backup catcher.
Yeah.
So the mileage on Montero, I mean, the miles have been a lot harder too, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if he's carrying a little bit more weight, I guess, than Ross does. I don't know. He just looks the only time he looks sharp is when he draws a walk and like runs to first base.
Well, and it's worth saying he's got to be calling good games though.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
The way the pitching staff has performed, like he's still doing his job as far as just managing the game as a catcher, I think, very well. And that's something that's kind of easy to overlook.
It's also worth mentioning that he did get a infield single tonight. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that was kind of impressive. I just think that Miggy looks like there's maybe, I'm not going to say there's something wrong, but he looks not in, he doesn't look good. And so I think that Contreras will get time behind the plate, and just because I think that they maybe need to like take a little bit more of the load off of Montero, because you do want him performing, and you do want that big left-handed bat in the lineup later in the season and in the playoffs if they get there. So, and I think with Contreras, you know, they can put him behind the plate. I think they can use him in different spots in the field if they want to get his bat in the lineup more. And I think that they do want to get his bat up in there fairly consistently.
Get his bat all up in there.
Yeah.
Consistently.
I just don't think it does Contreras any good to call him up and then have him only play once every three or four games.
I agree with that, but less so than like maybe a other position player, because in catching, because of what he needs to learn. I do think there is some benefit to him just being around.
Sure, but I mean, he could be around, but still get a start at third base or shortstop, or not shortstop, third base or first base or in the outfield. I mean, just kind of plug him in, give him spell somebody for a day or whatever. But
yeah, you don't want to take a hot bat and then just put it on ice,
right? But what a great bat to have come off the bench and pinch hit this season. I mean, it's pretty incredible to look at the offensive firepower that the Cubs have to come off their bench this year. I mean, these are the types of pinch hitters that you want to see come up to the plate, not like the pinch hitters of basically that the Cubs have had ever as long as I can remember. I mean, pinch hitters are usually like dudes that are hitting like 215, you know, that just aren't good enough to start every day. And it's impressive that the Cubs, pretty much anybody coming off the bench offensively is good enough to start on most other baseball teams.
I just wanted to mention too, I guess this doesn't really go along with what we're talking about, but I know like Coughlin hasn't been our favorite player in the past, but he's been a good pickup for the Cubs so far.
Yeah.
I wanted to acknowledge that just briefly.
Last week we had a question from a listener about which Cubs player would accidentally call David Ross dad. Did you guys see the Father's Day card that Rizzo got for Ross?
Yeah.
So if you didn't see this, Ross tweeted an image of it. But so the card, you know, what it says on the card by the card manufacturer says, "I have deep respect for you that grows as years go by. And no, if I'm a good man too, you're the reason why. Happy Father's Day, Dad." And then Rizzo wrote in his own handwriting, "Thanks for everything you have done for me. Love your son, Anthony." That's great. So I like that. So Kurt, do you have a scary stat of the week for us?
I sure do. In watching yesterday's game, we saw Lester see the bases loaded again. And I thought he's been so impressive sort of in tough spots with runners on, especially bases loaded. So he's had 10 or he's, you know, pitched in with 10 plate appearances this year with the bases loaded. Three of those were with no outs. And the line he's had in those 10 is no hits, no walks, one run allowed, and 7 strikeouts. So, and I've kind of looked down, and there were more impressive stats to go along with, like his runners in scoring position, batting average against was like below 200. He's just been, it seems like the more pressure you put on him, the better he is. And I thought that was pretty impressive. Because yesterday wasn't his best game, but still pitched well enough to get the win. So
yeah, and put the team in a position to get the win. And yeah, that's the thing too, is like you see him give up the leadoff home run, you know, for example, in yesterday's game. And I always have faith in him to kind of settle in at some point, you know, if he can kind of work through that. And he usually always does.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just to repeat, like 10 plate appearances with the bases loaded. No hits, no walks.
Yeah.
One run. And like I said, 3 of those with no outs. Like that's almost impossible, because all it takes is a fly ball to the outfield to score a run, and they've only got one of those. So
I was really happy to see you had this one in your notes, Kurt, because I kinda, when I thought about it, it does seem like he has faced this situation a lot. So mm-hmm. It's cool to see that you did find that is the case.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many other numbers with him too, to just sort of highlights what a great veteran pitcher he is. Because like the later in games, he sort of gets better, he gets stronger. You know, 2-3 times through the order, he's still really good. Versus like numbers skyrocketing like third time through the order. So
sure,
yeah, there's probably a lot of scary stats I could pull out of the Lester numbers, but we'll stick with that one for today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch him this season. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I have one.
I'll go first, Andy.
Okay.
This one was submitted by a listener, and it is at Chevelle PR, or so it's at Chevelle PR. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, this one's pretty good. So this was, they saw this one and sent it in. So thanks for doing that. I always enjoy it when I look at Twitter and people have sent me internet muscle flexes. So Montero tweeted, I believe I looked all your pictures. You guys rock. Thank you for making even more special being a Cubs player. Good night, Chicago. So kind of your typical Miguel Montero tweet. then this person,
heart of gold shines through in it clearly,
right?
Even despite all, you know, the little bit of brokenness to it,
right? So I mean, the gist of it, you know, thank you for making it even more special to be a Cubs player. To which this person responds and says, hopefully you're not a Cub tomorrow.
Oh, geez, man. I wish there were a thing where people could that say stuff like that could get set right in front of the person they're saying it to, right, in real life.
Right.
Say that to Miggy right now. You know, here he is. Tell him that.
So how about yours, Andy?
Yeah, it's actually, this was found by my lovely wife, Beth. And here it is. It's so this was a picture on Cubs Instagram of the lone win the Cubs got against the Nationals, where Almora hit a double in the 9th inning to put the Cubs up. And so the picture was of the Cubs dumping Gatorade coolers on Almora. And so somebody had this to say about this picture. That's how I feed my eel. That's it. This is a picture of Gatorade coolers getting dumped on the guy, and that's how I feed my eel.
Well,
now, apparently I had to look it up to make sure it wasn't something dirty. I just got a huge kick out of it being so random, but apparently it's connected to some dude's like YouTube channel. It's like some random, you can look it up on Urban Dictionary, but it's not dirty. It's just
interesting.
I thought it was funny.
I like it. So this episode is quite a bit shorter, partially because we want to watch the Cubs, and I don't mean to spoil this, but Contreras just hit a home run.
In his, are you For real?
Yes. Yeah. Like, we missed it by like 2 minutes. His first at bat.
Well, the good news is the MLB TV on Roku, I can just select the inning I want to watch, and I will go do that.
Yep, that's what I'm going to do, too. So, I know.
I can't believe we're disappointed about this, but
I know.
Still,
we came so close to being able to watch it. So, yeah, this is a shorter episode. If this is the first time you found us, know that I think I know I was distracted by trying to. We rarely record during Cubs games, and usually when we do, it ends in a no-hitter. That's happened probably the last two times that we've recorded during a game. Jake Arrieta has thrown a no-hitter, so
we might have to kind of get used to it, as the Cubs are probably going to get selected to be the Sunday night game more frequently.
That's true. Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, that does it for this episode, which is brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have one new contributor since our last episode, James from Melbourne, Australia. Australia is coming on strong. I said this last episode, but I don't know. Lots of fired up Cubs fans in Australia. So thank you, James. Patreon is how we pay the podcasting bills. It's how we replace equipment, upgrade equipment, pay for services like Huzzah, and our free IVMV app that's available in iOS and Android. If you would like to become part of the IVMV team and help us support this thing, the pledging levels start at just $1 a month, and you can get perks like stickers, posters, pint glasses. Go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can go to IVMV.com and click on the Patreon link on the right side of the page. So the St. Louis Cardinals come to town. We will find out if they can back up Matt Carpenter's words and his prediction. I'm going to go on a ledge and say they don't. So not on.
I will jump if they don't back up this prediction. So help me God, I will jump off this ledge. We got a jumper.
You know what I mean. Gosh, I just want to go watch baseball. Sorry. So we will be back to talk about this series on the midweek episode. And until then, go Cubs. It's on and up now, and I know how the heartbreak frustrates, but all of that was yesterday. It's gone away.